Thank you, Bert and Janelle. I appreciate that. And so welcome to Doctrinal Bible Church this morning. We are going to take a shot at trying to present a doctrine for you to maybe think about. And let's see, I can believe I can see Freddie and Carl back there and Paul. If I get to where I'm speaking too low, raise your hand, because my hearing aids, I can hear myself, and I think, well, I'm shouting, you know. And so I need to speak up, and so I'll try to do that, because I'll get to where I'll speak too low and not be heard. But I appreciate y'all being here and the opportunity to teach one more time. And what we're going to be working on this morning is doctrine of faith. And I've kind of based this around Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And those who come to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. And that's what Doctrinal Bible Church is all about, is just trying to seek the information that is necessary for us to reach spiritual maturity and develop a system of faith. And so I've been dealing with this concept of faith. What is it? And so I'm going to present some facets of faith to you this morning, and I hope that you'll be able to think about it and it'll be helpful, meaningful to you as you do walk by faith and not by sight. So before we get started, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get on with our lesson. Let us pray. Father, this morning to assemble, I thank you for positive volition that is here, and I ask you to bless the word that we study, Lord. Make it nourishment for our souls, and we thank you for this time to fellowship together. And so be with us now as we proceed with the doctrine of faith. In Jesus' name I make this prayer. Amen. All right, so the human life has got three systems of perception. You got rationalization, where we can kind of figure out things and put things together. And then you have this is kind of the intellectual expression and the use approach to life, such as logic, its approach to life that sometimes seems appropriate, but it doesn't always produce what we may think or assume that it would. And then we have empiricism and the five senses approach. Thomas said, except I see, I cannot believe. And so the third system is faith. And faith is the only system of perception that is bona fide. Faith is the only system of human perception which is non-meritorious in nature. Now, faith, rationalization, and empiricism cannot produce what faith can produce. And so we have to evaluate these three systems of perception that we have available to us. I mean, sometimes this is where we're going to merge together with the use of doctrine and the expansion of our faith. And faith is a verb form, which means to believe. It is a transitional verb, and it has to have a subject and an object. Now, the believer in salvation, who is a subject? Whosoever believeth. And who is, what is the object of believing? It's Jesus Christ. Whosoever believeth in him shall be saved. And so, faith, as far as in relationship to God, is actually has a twofold purpose. Faith in salvation is a one-shot decision. But faith in the Christian life, we make many decisions. And so, you being the subject, what is the object? The object is the Word of God. And so, in time, the object of faith being the Word of God, which gives faith some substance. I mean, you can find a product that's being advertised, and if you believe that it might help you or whatever problem is suggested, then you may buy it. But you first got to believe that it's going to be able to help you. Then you find out it doesn't help. And so you say, well, I'll never fool with that again. You dismiss it. Well, with doctrine, do you see what we're faced with by faith? And the object of our faith is the Word of God. And so do you see how easy it is for us to doubt that God is going to provide thus and so, that God will do what he says he will do? The human nature is just so easy to doubt, and yet we'll believe an advertisement in a heartbeat, and we'll read the Word of God and have some question about it. And this is a system that we live in, and this is why we have to develop faith. Faith has got to have muscle. And so there's a way that that can be developed. Faith is progressive in the Christian life, but not progressive in salvation. You made a one-shot decision to believe in Christ, and you became a Christian. But in life, you're going to have to make many decisions. It's just a little bit different. But in Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And he was referring to their faith. And a little child has only one system of perception, and that's faith. And I remember as a 12-year-old youngster when I became a Christian, I recall what it was to have childlike faith in the Word of God and being a Christian. Now, I didn't have any information, no information to think with. So I'm pretty well just operating on experience and emotions. But then, you know, I'm taught that the spiritual life is morality. And that's not true. Morality is the outgrowth of the production of the Christian life, but it's not the spiritual life. And so you begin to experience life 15, 16, 20, 25, 40, and then all of a sudden, you know, you begin to think with empiricism or rationalism. And you think, this is going to produce happiness. This is going to be good for me. And it never works out. Only the Word of God can produce something that's going to produce anything worthwhile or worth having. And so it took me a while, and it took doctrine and the grace of God to let me be introduced to the Word of God. And that's the truth. And truth is what we're to live by. So how is faith developed? How do we develop faith? Well, Romans 10:17 said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so this morning, you know, what's being taught, that's between you and the Holy Spirit, but you may have something that will challenge your thought pattern to think, well, where am I in this level of faith? So the Christian could be a freshman, a sophomore, a junior, or a senior in this level of faith. After studying the concepts of faith, I figure I'm somewhere around probably a sophomore. And yet it has prompted me to think about how much faith am I really using? Am I really applying? And I can base this, chapter 9, verses 24, and it's a story about the man whose child fell into the fire and must have had epilepsy or something, and the man came to Jesus and told him, his disciples couldn't help me. Can you help me? And the Lord said, well, do you believe I can help you? And the father's response was, help my unbelief. And so therefore, this lets me know that there are levels and degrees of faith that we can produce, that we can use. And I began to question, well, how much faith, Bud, are you using? So, but all members of the human race have a system of faith. I mean, the Muslim believes in a certain system of faith. In World War II, the kamikaze pilot believed in a system of faith that he was willing to die for. And so we, you know, we have to come to grips with the fact that faith has muscle. And how much muscle does our faith have? How willing, and what are we willing to do to express our faith? And so as we examine this, it's not a matter of not receiving something because you didn't have faith. It's not a matter of receiving something because you didn't pray hard enough. How do you pray hard? How do you have faith that is hard? How much faith did it take for you to be saved? Can you recall your salvation? Did you work at it? No, you just believe the word of God. Whosoever believeth in him, you were the subject and the Lord was the object, and you just accepted it. But see, when we get into life, we get involved in the desires that we'd like to have, things we might like to see happen, and it's motivated generally by the fact it's going to produce good. And if we get into human viewpoint and try to make something happen, it generally goes south and it doesn't produce what we had hoped for. But Jesus Christ has done all the work, and we believe in him, and we're saved. And so we're in this existence that we have trying to walk through life, and we're challenged to walk by faith and not by sight. And that simply means the application of the Word of God to the experiences of life. And so everyone becomes a believer by the same process. There's no other process except faith in Christ. And so the challenge for the Christian is to walk by faith and not by sight. That's the game that we're in. And that's why Doctrinal Bible Church is a Bible church, teaching simply the Word of God and how to use your spiritual assets. The challenge being for us is to walk by faith and not by rationale or empiricism. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. To walk by faith simply refers to developing a lifestyle of faith. In other words, that's the way we live, it's the way we think. And so we are in a position in Satan's world that the doctrine that we've learned runs through our stream of consciousness, which we make decisions on. And so anytime something you see might be contrary to the Word of God, you go with the Word of God. Don't go with what you see. You may hear something about life or about another person, and you don't have any information. You dismiss it. You do not make a judgment. That's not your cause. And so therefore, that's where you make a decision based on the Word of God, even though it may affect your attitude toward that person the next time you see them. And so it's no easy task to walk by faith and not by sight. Faith becomes a larger and larger importance to us when Bible doctrine is expressed through faith and applying itself to various situations in life. So faith simply then is thinking, and it's the content of what one's thinking is that gives us our validity to our faith. Now, a spiritual IQ, and that's nothing more than just doctrine in your soul, is what gives faith expression, power, animation, vigor, energy, and beauty. There is no limit to the amount of faith that we can have. But your faith is no stronger than your doctrinal content. Faith represents the first point of Bible doctrine. Believe on my Son. And we have accomplished that. And so, therefore, at the point of salvation, we have tasted the grace of God for the first time. But the process is reversed when we enter the Christian life, because we're making many decisions, and now we're going to learn what the grace of God is about, and we're going to live by grace and recognize that the object we're the subject, and the object is Bible doctrine and believing the Word of God. All right, well, let's see, in Luke 17, six, the apostles said to Jesus, "Lord, please increase our faith." And so he replied, "If you have the faith as small as the grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry bush or mountain, be moved, and it would move." Well, that's beyond our comprehension. People, listen, do you realize it's almost beyond our comprehension to understand that Christ has done the work, we believed in him, and we're saved? All right, so we're living in Satan's world, and we're trying to use a divine system of operation that God has designed for us. And if we don't believe that it works, then it doesn't matter. Doctrine becomes immaterial, and there's no power in the Word of God. And that's where the power is. The power is in the Word of God. When God's tempted by Satan, he said, "Turn this stone into bread. I know you're hungry. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And so the more doctrine that you learn, the more you have opportunity to apply that doctrine to circumstances in life, which is going to be able to add some muscle to your faith. This is where you're going to grow in faith and grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, well, point I'm making, I guess, by faith is the fact that, and it's one of the things I want to present is the level of faith. And we can examine our own system of faith and whether or not try to figure out, you know, what we really truly believe. And when we get under pressure, that's when you see the real character and integrity of a believer. When a believer can resort to his faith in the Word of God and trust that and sit tight and endure some type of hardship or adversity, he's walking by faith and not by human viewpoints. Human viewpoint says, okay, we can solve this problem. Let's do this. Have you tried this? Have you thought about that? And we get all kinds of information coming through our memory center of what we might try instead of just sitting tight and wait on the Lord and use your doctrine. And this is, I find, the difficult part of the Christian life is to do nothing when you don't know what to do. Sit tight and trust the Lord. But the point I'm making is that Jesus had set aside all divine power as a man. When he became a man, were he to use divine power to walk on water or accomplish the things he accomplished, then Satan would have a case against him. And so the Lord simply dismissed all divine power to assist or help him in his humanity. He was truly a man, just like we are. He's been tested in every way that we have ever been tested, so he's aware of any test that we ever face. How did he walk on water? How did he heal the blind? How did he say, Lazarus, come forth? And he did. It wasn't his divinity, people. It was his faith. He was utilizing his faith. If you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, say to this mountain, be moved, and it'll be moved. So that lets me, Bud, you know, how much faith are you using? You know, how strong is your faith? Do you truly believe the Word of God? I believe in salvation. I had a friend of mine one time, and he said, Bud, how you know you're saved? I said, well, I feel like it. I just feel saved, and I know I'm a Christian. Well, how do you know? And he kept prodding me, and finally he gave me what he was looking for. He said, you're saved because the Word of God says so. The Word of God says, if you believe in my Son, I'll save you. And never forgotten that. And see, doctrine is simply a process of reaching spiritual maturity. But faith is a system whereby we have to use doctrine for it to grow or develop some degree of benefit for us. And so, of Jesus walking on water, not by divinity, but by faith. To make the point, you explain to me, how did Peter walk on water? Peter didn't have divinity. He was just a fisherman. But he got out of the boat and started walking on the water. He was walking by faith. And then he switched over to empiricism. He said, what am I doing out here? And all of a sudden he began to sink. So the point I'm trying to make is we have a system of faith. We're saved by faith, and we're to walk by faith and not by sight. And so I'm just trying to figure out where I am in that system of the strength of my faith. And so without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to me must believe that I exist, and I reward those who diligently seek me. Well, we can readily see that the great challenge in the Christian life is entrance into the faithless life. Hebrews 4, 9, and 10. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also must cease from his works, just as God did his. And so here's a concept. If I can utilize my faith, then I ought to have peace. Because the problem I'm facing, I've got a solution. I don't know what it is, but God knows what it is. And I know that he's working in my behalf. That's how he's honored. That's how he receives the glory. It's not what we can do for him. It's what he can do through us. And that's the great challenge as a Christian, is to enter into that faith rest life. Yes, sir, I trust you. And so God did not rest because he was tired. He rested because there was nothing left to do. What do you got going this afternoon? What do you got going tomorrow? What you got on your plate? I mean, just in preparation for this lesson this morning, I had to fiddle around about a day and a half to try to pull this together, you know, and I'm just pulling my thoughts together and sharing with you my thinking. But I had the opportunity to use this system of faith that everything's going to be fine. What's going to be taught, it's up to God. It's not up to me. All I need to do is be prepared. Be prepared because, see, you serve at his pleasure. You were bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself. And so, therefore, we serve at his pleasure. And so this is one of the keys, I think, that helps us to relax about being in this life. So for a believer's life to be meaningful, they have got to depend upon the inhale and exhale of doctrine. Since adversity in this life is not an option, the only option is how we approach adversity. I've been praying for Debbie D'Angelo. She received an email. We were sitting back there before she left and asked me to pray for her. And for, I think it was her niece who lost her husband. A 30-year-old is all the information I have that died in an automobile accident. I have no more information. But I know she was visibly upset. This is a type of pressure in life that we face. Do you have any clue what the rest of this day holds for you? No. All you know is where you are right now. You're in a pew sitting here listening to me, and you know, you're comfortable. But we'll dismiss and we'll go about our business. And so some of the responsibilities that we're faced, we're going to use empiricism or rationalism. And that's bona fide. There's absolutely nothing wrong in that. There are certain responsibilities we have to take care of, and they're sort of mechanical. But there are times that something in our life belongs to God, and only through faith can we give it to him, and only through faith can we wait for a result, for a solution. Because this is why we're here, is to honor him, to glorify him. And it's what he does through us And so therefore we have circumstances that we don't know are coming, but he does. See, he's seen your tomorrows. He knows exactly when you're going to go out of here and how you're going to go out. And so only through doctrinal thinking can we reach a level of thought pattern to make decisions based on the Word of God. And so your faith is going to increase and grow in strength by the use of doctrine. When you apply doctrine to life, and it works, you can't help say, hey man, this is great. So we also, you know, have the challenge sometimes, you know, let me say this too, that prayer is not a problem solving device. Prayer is how we communicate to the Father. Problem solving device is the application of doctrine to the experience of life through faith. That is your problem solver. This is how you can be under extreme pressure and be content and have peace in your soul. And this is what Paul had learned. Paul said, I've learned something. I've learned how to be content wherever I find myself, whether I'm hungry or whether I'm well fed. It doesn't matter. And he's simply expressing this faith rest life. And so the object is the Word of God, and we're the subject. And our challenge is simply to apply by faith, can be content where we are. Well, when divine viewpoint controls the soul, the believer should have peace